So a couple of years ago, if you're a part of us, we went through this transformation in the church where all the doors used to be a different color, and we had carpet out in the lobby and down the halls, and now we have luxury vinyl plank tile. And one of the things that went along with the new stuff was new locks on every door. And we had a mishmash of, you know, like locks up and down the places. We still have the same old front door key, praise the Lord. But they put locks on the office, too. And they changed how the locks worked so you couldn't lock them open. You would put the key in. Most of them are still that way. There are only two doors, I think, that aren't that way. You'd put the key in and unlock it and then take the key out and it's locked again. And once the door shut, it's locked. So one day, shortly after this change, I was in my office and had to run to the bathroom probably and didn't have my key with me, didn't think about my door and the office door, and I went to the bathroom and I came back and I grabbed that knob or that lever and it wouldn't move. Ever had that feeling when you thought you were going to be able to get into a door and it's locked? And nobody had a key. Nobody had a spare key. And so I had to call Pastor Mike, who didn't live just up there off of Laring. He lived over there in Fenton, you know, and like he had to come, and we had to wait for him to come and open the door. That's a closed door that is fairly minor and easily remedied. But what we celebrate today is about open doors. The way is open. And it is not just not a good word. It is not only this event that brought all of Jesus' teachings and indeed all of the Old Testament into its fulfillment. This opened all doors, all good doors. The way is open, and because of that, there are boundless possibilities. So I'm going to ask you not to limit yourself to any kind of like Easter thought. They're great and have them, but think of the doors in your life, the doors you want to go through, the doors that seem blocked to you, because this opening of the way has provided for all ways that he leads us to be open as well. But we need to come and do something about that. To begin, we are going to share an account of the resurrection. What would Easter morning be without the actual biblical account? So our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on that first day of the week, just after sunrise, they're on their way to the tomb and they ask each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. What a mix of emotions coming to that place of boundary, that closed door, that lack of access. Expectation, anxiety and fear, surprise, dismay, who knows what it is. We feel all those ranges of things depending on the door that we're trying to open and the door that Jesus is calling us all to walk through and walk in, because he invites us into a passageway, not just through an entryway. So just a little review so we remember and apply this again to what you're facing now and your hopes and your dreams. The big boundary, number one in your handout if you have one, it's this stone. From Matthew chapter 27, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. When we did Good Friday services in Gaylord, we had a part of our audio-visual was the sound of that stone with the crack of thunder. And kind of we ended the service, just you just heard that settle into place, and people left in silence to contemplate the cost of our sin that Jesus paid for us on the cross. And it was this sense of huge boundaries that we just can't do anything about. These ladies who went to finish the burial process, and Jesus knew they weren't going to be able to move the stone. They didn't have any expectation of supernatural. But the way was open. The stone was gone. And today I contend that where you are trying to go in the Lord, that way is also open to you. So number two in the handout, the open way. What opened up? That's actually the question this point answers. And these are three areas, and one leads to the other. And the first, of course, is the way to a relationship with God. Interesting, I had an afterthought I put in parentheses in my notes again, because we were, for a couple different reasons. The first is, God created us in relationship, Adam and Eve. And they had a perfect, beautiful, communal, reciprocating relationship with the Lord who walked among them. And so as a race, we come back to what His intended relationship for His people are. But this also has a personal application. Our regulars here know I have a period in my life where I had walked with Jesus and I walked away. And the way to come back to Him was just as open to me as that first way to find Jesus. And it's really important when we get bogged down, or we possibly can get bogged down with our own actions and our own attitudes. And let's face it, we are really good at getting in our own way. We often create the boundary that exists where there is none. But Jesus invites us from this event we celebrate every year to walk in life with this knowledge that boundaries are open before us. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, I love how Paul writes, and he writes this in the New Century Version. Remember that in the past you were without Christ. You were not citizens of Israel. That means we weren't in God's kingdom actively following. And you had no part in the agreements with the promise that God made to His people. You had no hope, and you did not know God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. That is the opening. That's when the stone was rolled away. That's what opened up to us a relationship with God. Everything starts in a relationship with God. By the way, the process of relationship with God isn't always that dawning of need. There is a process that we are led through that helps our spirits come alive to possibilities, to our own failings, and leads us closer and closer to God's love until we finally get to the place where it all comes together. That's kind of the end, though. The way to a relationship with God was opened with the tomb. There were relationships that the people who were God's people in the Old Testament, things they did to follow and be in a relationship, but not in this personal, saving, holy relationship, not until the stone was rolled away, the boundary was taken away, the way was open. Because the way to a relationship with God was opened, and when we walk through that door of relationship, we find the way to truth. That's B in your handout, the way to truth. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him in John 8, "You are truly My disciples if you remain faithful to My teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. One of our songs this morning had this line in it, "You have broken every chain." Truth breaks chains. And we tend to, maybe I call it spiritualize this, in that the only truth we learn when we come to Jesus is the truth that he died for us. He was the Son of God, and when we come to him and lay our sins down and start following him, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And that's the best news ever. I mean, honestly, that's the best news ever. But that is not all of truth and all the truth we need to face or find out in our lives. When we come to this relationship to God through this open access, the way that is open, the stone is no longer there, there's no barrier between us, we find the truth about God and eternity. It's really important in these days that we find and cultivate our knowledge of the truth of who God is and of eternity and what that is, because there are a lot of people who tell us who God is or who he isn't or who he couldn't be. One of the best lines I've heard recently in some of my podcast listening is saying to some people who don't believe in God, "I don't believe in the God you don't believe in either." And that's often reflected by somebody saying to a Christian, "Well, then, who created God?" Well, we don't believe in a created God. We believe that God is above creation and he made all of this. That is the God we need. That is the God who is. And we find when we come to Jesus through the open way, we find the reality of about God. Not Thor with a hammer ready to whack-a-mole when you make a wrong step. It's the God of love. But God's love means I will not let you do this dangerous thing without challenging you and putting things in your way to try to direct you back. Because as we know, some people try to tell us that God's love means fulfilling what I feel, and God will help me fulfill what I feel I need. Well, boy, I don't know how you guys live your life, but if I got everything I felt I needed, well, I probably wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be up here for sure. I probably wouldn't even be living. There's truth, and God is truth. And he tells us about eternity and what that is. And as Pastor Doug prayed, we need that sight in our mind about where we're going, because life is not hard. And this is the truth about truth, is it isn't always easy. It's often difficult to discover truth. We find when we come to him through this open way what the world is like. It's deceit. A lot of things happen all the time. Diana has been through this recently, and it's happened to me too, where I get an email from PayPal, seemingly. "You've been charged $895.22. The world is false. That's one of those things that we need to know the truth about so that we can know when the falsehood come. I've used this illustration before, but it fits here. How do they train tellers to recognize genuine currency? Not by studying the fakes, but by studying the real bill and knowing it so well that they can spot when something is different about it. There are lots of things about the world that are represented to us as pleasing and fulfilling, but we find in God Almighty, who made himself available to us through the cross by way of the tomb, that he has the way to walk in this world that is really fulfilling. Again, think about the things you're facing, the roadblocks that you're having in your life, the closed doors that you just wish they were open. And the truth comes to us about me and you, about who I am and who you are, the reality of things that need to be different in our spirit, in the places we've gathered, our woundedness and coming to grips with that and not thinking I can conquer all those things on my own. Not only the truth of what is, but the truth of what could be. I remember my mom, she had a deep desire that I would be a surgeon. She said my fingers were long and I'd be a terrible surgeon, man. And she always thought that was my potential. My dad at one point called me a bum because, well, honestly, I earned that. I loved to find the easiest way and preferably no way to do anything when I was younger. And he thought I lost my potential. And then we get an idea of what our potential is based on what people tell us about ourselves and from their perspective. But when we come into this relationship with God, he allows us to see the truth about us and leads us to fulfilling our potential because He created you and me a certain way. He created you and me with certain gifts, so there's positive things we have. And then the distortion of sin in this world kind of heightens the parts that are different from one another. And we have an awful difficult time sometimes with one another because of that. But He is the one that leads us into truth, sometimes the truth that hurts, before changes can be made. What has been opened? The way to a relationship with God has been opened. That's where everything starts. The way to truth has been opened, and that's truth about everything. So we go back to Him with everything, and we don't define any of those things on our own or by our friends. And the last one, see the way to everything we need. Well, that's pretty broad. I mean, it's good enough I can have a relationship with God. It's good enough that I can find truth, because let's face it, if you don't find truth, you can't overcome things that actually will become closed doors, roadblocks, and keep you from being all you could be. But here, and it's not just a spiritual application, as Peter writes these words from his first epistle, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power," here it comes, "has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him," that's the relationship that we have gained, "who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Man, that's a ton of stuff in there. But our focus this morning is in right there in verse 3. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we tend to think, so church, we'll call one another to account. I don't know if anybody out in web land or here, you're not following Jesus, so this doesn't really, you don't have to listen too hard at this. But sometimes we, as church folk, bring things to this narrow place of the church life or the Christian life, as we might define it. But the word Peter uses here and the concept he passes on to us is that we receive everything we need for life through this relationship with God that brings us to truth that we found provided for us at the empty tomb. Everything we need. What is it that you need? How about your occupation? And what you struggle with in jobs that are unfulfilling and seem to be going nowhere? What about your personal relationships in this life? We always have a relationship or two, right? That's a little bit of a struggle. I don't understand them. They don't understand me. There's conflict. Maybe there's misunderstanding. That's part of what is granted to us, this entering into everything we need by the way that is open. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems sometimes those are hard to attain, isn't it? But the first step is realizing that the truth is there, realizing that everything has been given to us, and all we need to do is be connected to all the needs we have for life and godliness. And I love that that this passage ends at that place that is very challenging. That says we participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So it's one thing to understand and accept that Jesus meets us where we're at. And He died on that cross while we were steeped in sin. And it's kind of mind-boggling to me. I was reflecting a little earlier as I was worshiping this morning before anybody else got here, how He saw all of sin, of all of humankind from the time the first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden until not the rapture, but the end and the judgment and the final judgment when all the people are called and some will depart to eternal life and some will go not to eternal life, but to eternal pain. And He did it anyway. And the word is full of this truth, but Peter brings it right to the surface that he Jesus did not open the way to simply forgive us of our sins, but he did it so that we could share in who he is essentially. We're created in his image as human beings, that when we come to him and start this relationship that leads to the way of truth, that leads to the way of everything we need, we begin to put him on more and more and more. Like, I got dressed this morning and put stuff on. I learned those parts that I've kept at a distance, and he allows us to put this whole thing on bit by bit as we live in this world, and it causes us to escape corruption. Holiness, man, that's a sweet gift to be able to walk in a holiness. And it doesn't end. We have to understand that I can have an unholy moment. I shared with you last week about an attitude problem I had the week before. It was movie night. That happens. He uses that and leads us into the truth of what to do. So there was a big boundary represented by the stone that sealed the tomb, but it says so much more about all of our life. The opening of the tomb showed us that there are things open, ways are open, ways that good, positive ways that God wants us to walk in, good things he wants us to receive, blessings, as well as the hardships of being forged. That's all a part of it too. So how do we get there? So that's the last, number three in your handout, the way to the way. And most of you know this. So bring this into that closed door that you've been knocking on or standing in front of, or you're heading toward wondering, how is this going to be moved away? So how do we find the way to the way? We go back to the story and find out the way that other people came. Now, that's interesting how I started to develop this and thought I was going to dog everybody and their bad attitudes and how they came to the tomb. And the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. They came as they were and found Jesus. And he did not condemn them. So the overarching answer is, come as you are, but come. How did they come? Mary was anxious going and afraid leaving, even though the angel talked to her. The Matthew account, Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9, puts it this way, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. He didn't stand afar off and go, oh, you were afraid, and you even talked to my angel, and you still didn't, you know, believe. I'm not going to show myself to you. No, he came and met with them, and they received, and they saw the living Jesus that came through the open way. So if you're anxious and afraid, bring your anxiety and your fear. That's one of the things about the way to truth. We can be truthful, and we can take off our masks. I don't know if we'll ever get to the place where I can convince everybody to take off their masks on a Sunday morning. Could you imagine the transformation if we came in with our true hurt and need and worshiped God, but then had time where we shared what was really on our heart and soul and stuck around and prayed and anointed people who were sick and all that kind of stuff? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? How did Peter come? He was unsure. Of course, he was dealing with his own betrayal of Jesus and denial. It doesn't mention that in the account, but we see in the account at the end of the Gospel of John where he prepares a meal and feeds Peter and challenges him. But here in the Luke account of the resurrection, Luke 24:12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. He was unsure, but we know he found the true Jesus. I often include, when I talk to people, whether it's in front of an audience or a congregation like this or one-on-one, you know, you don't have to understand everything about Jesus. He knows you. You can't even, really, anyway. We don't ever fully understand in this world. I think that fullness comes in the next. But when you first come to him, there's so little we know, but we know we go to what we know about him, that he loves us and that he died. It doesn't matter whatever else you're unsure about. We come to him just the way we are, and he comes to us and finds us and ushers us through the openings to the passageways he has set before us. He knew before the beginning of time. And then there's John. Some misuses of my name, but I like this relationship, that John was the one who came believing. From the account in John chapter 20, verse 8, finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Other accounts include, but they did not yet understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But he had a belief. With whatever belief he had, John the disciple came. This represents a kind of a spectrum of Jesus calling to salvation. And that means saved from the sin that we were born with. Not sins the actions, but sin the nature that causes those actions to happen. That's the deal. That's what he cleanses. That's what he changes in us. So what we commit in sin changes when he cleanses our natures and gives us this divine nature that we talked about already. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, a way, it's not a way, it's the way to cement your coming to the opening and walking through the open door that he has provided, whether it is today, the day of your salvation, where you will commit your life to Christ, accept his cleansing, accept his taking your place to pay the penalty for sin, or whether you're standing at that door and you want it to open. The beauty of the truth of this is he won't just open every door, but he'll tell you, you're standing in front of the wrong one. Move over. And then we don't waste time standing in front of the wrong door, banging on. I don't know about you, I've banged on doors. So glad he doesn't open all the doors I've banged on. So, good old church family members, you probably know this section of Scripture, and it's tied to salvation, but it's also tied to any other closed way you're trying to get through. Getting to the truth. Romans 10, 8 through 11, more than usually we just quote 9 and 10, but I like this larger passage. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So here is where we come with our closed doors, whether it is the closed door of salvation, and you are anxious and afraid, or you're unsure, that you would simply verbalize to him. There is something about saying it out loud. I come to you now, Jesus, and submit and surrender. Help me with what I'm anxious and fearful about. Help me understand the things I'm unsure about that you know it's important for me to know. But that confession is also appropriate for the doors you're facing that seem closed, and you're not sure whether there should be doors that are open. You come and confess those things. Lord, show me if this is the right door, and Lord, open this door for me, and allow Jesus with the open way that we see in the tomb that led to a relationship with God for anyone who would say yes, and it introduced us to truth and helps us to be able to dig in and find truth no matter what falsehood are thrown at us. And as you know, there's a whole pile of that stuff that just keeps rolling in, threatening to cover us up. And everything we need, which is the right doors to go through. And all the right doors that he wants you to go through, he will open for you at the right time. So I want you to notice a couple of words in this passage. In verse 8, it says, the word of faith we are proclaiming. And then verse 11, Paul says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. These are words of faith. These are words of confessing and then continuing to follow him. And as we get near the end of our time together this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to leave with something as you bring either your life to him, and online folks, this is for you just like it is here, bringing salvation to him, or bringing that thing that you're wavering on and you're tired of investigating or waiting for the Lord to lead you. And these are little packets of mustard seed, because the Bible talks about faith in terms of mustard seed. So if you know me, you know I like symbols. I like something I can put my hand on, that I can put on my bookshelf and remember, oh, I remember that. That was for this. And I have stones and pieces of carpet. I have all sorts of stuff in my office because I keep one of everything we also give away. And Matthew 17:20 makes the connection for us. I tell you the truth, Jesus speaks, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, this door, this boundary, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Nothing is impossible because the way is open. Possibilities are boundless in him, in Jesus, because of what he has done. So here's where we're going from here. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to encourage you. Are these located out in the lobby? Look, it's a big old round basket full of things. Okay, when you leave, and I'm not encouraging you to hurry up and get out of here, but when you leave, grab one of these. But as I pray, I'm asking you to pray in a confession way, like Paul talked about in Romans that we just read. Here is my barrier, Lord. I'm going to confess this barrier to you, because I want you to remove it so I can walk through it, or I want you to show me I'm spending time at the wrong place and I need to go to another place, because the way is already open. And if his salvation for us is intended to take root immediately and make a difference in our life now as we walk closer and closer to perfection and completeness in eternity. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't think that the application for the empty tomb is only to wait. It is to prosper now in him according to his will. So we come back to what I encourage you to do at the beginning. Think of that boundary you have. Certainly if it is the boundary of first saving faith in Jesus, that you would give that up to him. And start that conversation as I pray. Then I have a couple of things to share before we sing our closing, which is because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So I would like you to stand with me as I pray. Father, there are so many closed ways, exclusivity. We can't get into all the clubs. We don't belong here or there. We have weaknesses of different kinds. But as those first followers of yours came to what seemed to be an insurmountable barrier, this large, many-ton stone between them and you, and they came to anoint a body, you already had the stone removed and showed them that they didn't even come to find the right thing. They found that you were no longer a corpse, but you were alive. You are alive. And in you removing that boundary stone, you have removed all stones to all good things that you have planned before the beginning of time, before creation, before any of us saw the light of day. And we confess that we are a people of great need. So much so that we can't even tell what our real needs are sometimes. Certainly without you, we have no idea. But we know this, you are our primary need. And when we come to you, you give us or lead us to all the other things we need, the truth of them and the provision of them. And you, even you yourself, give us the ability to have faith. Little faith, like tiny mustard seeds that can end up in ways being opened because it is you that do it. So on this Resurrection Sunday morning, we not only want to remember this wonderful event that changed everything forever, but that you are here to open ways for us right now, to walk with you now in abundance, in many cases, with you accompanying us through the hardest time in other cases, and knowing that you make use of those things and help us to discover even more about you and more truth and find more joy in this world as we move on to the next. So, Lord, move us to salvation, to confess what we feel we need, and being open to what you telling us what we really need, and remind us when we get weary that ways are open, you walk with us, you carry us so often. So help us move in that direction. Today I pray, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things. One is our Connect card. I always talk about this at the beginning of the service for people who are guests and we want your information. I would like you to use this as a way to confess the boundary. Whether you want to turn it into me or not, that's your choice. I will certainly pray for you if you want to do that. But part of that confession process and getting to the way and through the way is saying, this is the truth about me. This is the truth about where I'm going. And you can go online to lfmchurch.net and connect with us. And there's an electronic card that you can fill out if you intend to send it to me. Or we have a stack of them out on the info booth. Don't you know, spend some time contemplating the open and closed doors. And I want to remind you of our faith walk coming up. It's real soon now, May the 4th. That's a Saturday night at 7 p.m. And if you go to our website right on the front and click on the image, you can get to the page that talks about the testimonies. You can add yours. You can pray about this. And we're going to have another opportunity to walk through open doors that night as we worship together with Dan and Karen and their band and many people who are coming to contribute to that. And there is a photo op on the back wall if you want to take a nice Easter photo before you leave. And as always, our altar's got flowers on it, but it's still a good place to kneel. There may be someone you need to have a conversation with regarding the open or closed passageways in your world on this Resurrection Sunday. Let Jesus do the work, and we're going to sing, and don't forget your packet of mustard seeds.
God sent me.